couple times, I almost became lost just getting from my shelter to One Eye's wagon or Croaker's shelter. The blizzard brought air so cold we had to move Smoke into Croaker's place to keep him from freezing. The soldiers suffered badly, though mostly through their own failure to provide themselves with adequate shelter. Captives had warned them that winter here would be much harsher than any they'd ever known. Once again, I got to know the joys of sharing quarters with Mother Gota. Tide insisted she had to get in out of the weather, and I've been developing a soft streak as I get older. I allowed it. She behaved uncharacteristically for Kigota. She kept her own counsel most of the time. She stayed out of the way. She helped Tide dig out cold earth and carry it away so we would have more room. She didn't say a disparaging word about all the time I spent writing. She worked hard, though I never had been able to criticize her on that account, ever. She made me nervous. She was almost human. Though she made very little effort to be pleasant or friendly. The captain, though, was sharing space with One Eye and Smoke for the duration. He was much less happy than I was. And I was not happy because I was getting almost no chance to travel with Smoke. When I did stumble over there, they wouldn't let me go ghost walking long enough to do more than check something specific, which was always something on a list they'd prepared but claimed not to have had time to check for themselves. Croaker didn't ghost walk much, but he didn't let the blizzard and its aftermath keep him from working on other stuff. Over there in Overlook, Long Shadow and Howler were putting in hours as long as ours. And when he was not with his ally Howler, the Shadow Master had his head together with Narayan. Singh seemed to have perked up now that he had an almost friend. The Daughter of Night seemed content to ignore everybody and live entirely within herself. Fighting continued inside the fortress. I almost had to envy our guys who were trapped in there. They were scared all the time, but they were warm, and most of the time, they had enough to eat. Fresh snow fell every 3 days. Harsh winds never stopped blowing. I began to worry about the wood we needed to keep going. The snow was so deep, it was almost impossible to get around. Nobody knew how to make snowshoes. Probably only 3 or 4 old crew guys besides me knew what snowshoes were. I thought it was a great time for Long Shadow to send out some of his pet shadows, but he failed to grab the advantage. He wasn't confident that Howler could withstand Lady by himself, nor, I suspect, did he want to turn his back on his partner for long. The dreams intensified. They diversified as well. I went to the Plain of Death and the Caves of Ice, and I went to the Nguyen Bao Delta Swamps to see Sara, and into the hills and mountains behind us, where I caught glimpses of Goblin and Mogaba in huddled hiding places, trying to wait out the weather. Those dreams all seemed very real. Even more real seemed my dreams of Soulcatcher, whose lonesome misery was epic. The place she'd chosen to hole up seemed to pull snow and wind both, till the former was deeper than she was tall. The first 2 times I suffered these dreams, I took them passively. The 3rd night, my own presence there seemed so real that I tried tinkering with reality. The dream didn't change, but my place within it did. I experimented much more next night. The morning afterward, after a not entirely inedible